Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about self-expression, communication, and getting the word out. So jump on, see where it goes. Oh, and have a good time.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's The Coco Express for Saturday, October 31st, 2009. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and with me today is Mary Pendergreen. Now, if you weren't with me at the last show, you won't know who Mary Pendergreen is. And we have a treat. This is our Halloween show, so we have a treat for you today. Mary Pendergreen, she is going to tackle the tricky subject of relationships. She is going to unmask the confusion, and she's going to give us an opportunity to open ourselves up, to ask questions, to gain understanding, and just so that we can have a better relationship with ourselves, with our significant others, whoever it is that we want to have a relationship with. But before we go into all of that, let me give you a little background about Mary Pendergreen. She is an internationally known psychotherapist and a relationship expert. She focuses on the relationship with oneself and how it influences relationships with others. She educates people about choosing mates and identifying relationship patterns. She believes that relationships should be carefully selected, analyzed, nurtured, and sometimes dismissed. She maintains a private practice dealing with individual couples, men's groups, women's groups, and executive coaching. She's also part of the Coco Express team. And we are so happy to have her on our team. She is a relationship expert. She's got her sleeves rolled up, and she's ready to help you help yourselves in your relationship. If you have questions, please call 347-637-2319 and press option 1. Just press number 1. Hello, Mary. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm excellent. Glad to be here.
Oh, we are glad to have you.
Thank you.
Now, normally we go through all this dialogue about all the different things going on and the statistics and the facts and the figures. But for this particular show, we're going to skip all of that, okay? We're going to go straight to the heart of the matter. I'm going to fire off some questions to get the discussion and the dialogue started, and you can go from it from there, okay?
Sounds good to me.
You got it. Okay, my first question is, what are the components of a successful relationship?
Well, the most important component of a relationship is the idea of having a friend in the person. Oftentimes when we're in a relationship, we make exceptions in terms of the fact that you have rules for friendship, and then suddenly when you're in a relationship, you have something else that makes you decide that you're going to be with this person. Maybe it's the way they look. Maybe it's the way they make love. But oftentimes we don't look at the element that makes other friendships successful. So the most important thing in choosing a mate is the idea of being with somebody that you like, that you respect and trust, and that this person likes and respects and trusts you as well. You also want to make sure that in this relationship, you can grow. It's always important to be able to recognize that you're not just stuck. Well, gee, you know, sometimes people will say things like, I liked you better when we first met. You've changed. I don't like that. And basically, none of us stay the same. So it's important to be able to accept the fact that this person is going to change. And the other thing is that it's important to be able to listen to this person and share with that person things that are good and bad. And the most important thing here also is the idea that you will be able to tell this person anything. that you can tell them anything and they're not going to criticize, tease, or judge you. And those are some of the more important issues. Of course, there are many, many more.
Okay. Now, with that in mind, I was reading an article, and it said that one of the first things that must be in place is you have to like the person. I mean, you could have a good friend in someone, but, I mean, you can have a friend, but you don't particularly like that friend that much. So isn't it really important to really like the person as a person?
It's extremely important that you like the person, because in essence, what happens is that we oftentimes choose someone for exterior reasons, but don't really like them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like the person, there is no chance of having a long-term relationship with them. The other thing that you have to keep in mind, too, is that opposites attract. Most of the time, people are interested in somebody that's different than themselves. That person compliments you. And so that's why you get together. For instance, you're never going to have two people that will be and stay together if both of them are very quiet, or if both of them are extremely talkative, because in essence, you generally have somebody that's different than you. Problem is that once you get that person, it's like, let's get together, and then I want you to change. Because oftentimes we'll say things like, why don't you do the things that I do? If you just be more like me, it would be fine. But most people are not attracted to people that are like them, at least not in the beginning. And so what happens is that they then get this person, and suddenly, if I only had somebody that was just like me. And another example is that if you got two people and both of them are extremely focused on saving, they don't want to spend a dime, then that means that for the most part, that couple is not going to be that happy with each other, because in essence, if nobody's spending anything, it means that they're not having much fun. But if you have one person that is more frugal and the other person that's more interested in socializing and spending to some degree, what you then get is a balance, so that the couple will have some time that they're spending, and sometimes that someone is watching the purse strings. So it feels important to be able to recognize that no relationship that lasts over time will happen with two people that are exactly alike.
Okay. Now, the other question that I have is, what is the primary goal of a relationship?
I'd like to say that most people are looking for somebody to compliment them. Now, while that's really the goal, that person should have things that you don't have that will enhance your relationship. Sometimes people come to a relationship feeling empty and thinking that the other person is there to fill them up. But if indeed you're empty, you're going to attract other people that are empty that want you to fill them up. And so in order for a relationship to be successful, you need to be able to have work that you do on yourself to fulfill yourself, and then you can complement somebody else. There's an expression that water seeks its own level. In essence, what that means is that if you are healthy, and if we have a healthy scale that went from 1 to 10, with 10 being extremely healthy and 1 being extremely unhealthy, then if you are a 5 or a 6, it is very likely that you're going to attract somebody else that's a 5 or a 6. But if indeed you are a 2 and your goal is to find somebody that's extremely healthy and successful, it's not going to work, because in essence that person wants somebody that's more fulfilled like they might be. I often hear people say things, some of the couples that I see or some of the individuals that I see that's looking to be in a relationship, they'll often say things like, oh, I want somebody who has a wonderful job, lots of money, and basically have lots of education. And they themselves don't have that those things. And so the real issue is, what would you bring to the table to complement that person? And in essence, people don't have to be exactly alike. They don't have to have the exact same amount of money, the exact same amount of education. But they do have to have a certain degree of peace with themselves in terms of where they are. So the work isn't about finding the right person. It's about being the right person, where the focus is on increasing your own self-esteem, your own sense of value, so that in essence you come to the relationship bringing things rather than being there to be taken care of.
Okay. So if, let's say for instance, your goal is to get involved with someone, you're single and you're looking for a companion, and let's say you're a gold digger. Why is it that gold diggers are successful at getting the five or six when they really aren't but two or three?
Well, what we really talked about is the idea of a lasting relationship.
Okay.
Get somebody, but we're talking about a healthy, meaningful relationship. So if indeed it's your goal to be a gold digger, if you're there mining the gold, it will not lead to a loving relationship, because ultimately that person is going to realize that you're there trying to get stuff, dig, mine the gold. And gold diggers are not usually about giving much in exchange.
Oh, good. Now, can you tell me, why do most relationships fail? But before you answer that, listeners, if you have questions, please call in. The number is 347-637-2319, and the topic is relationships. Okay, so we'll go back to the question. Why do most relationships fail?
Okay, well, let's think of it in this way, that when we are choosing a relationship, we oftentimes don't explore enough. And I'd like to give a really strange analogy, that if by chance God showed up and said, I am going to give you one used car that will have to last for the rest of your life, and you were on a used car lot, you wouldn't just get in the first car that was there and say, I'll take this one because it's pretty. You would really look at, want to find out the history of the car. You'd want to find out how many accidents it's been in. You'd want to find out the general health of that car. Would you not?
Yes. I think
but on the other hand, if you choose a mate that you want to be with for the long haul, we oftentimes don't examine it in the same way. We make a choice based on how they look. You might have been just out for a few dates and you choose them as a permanent partner, and you haven't done the work in terms of looking at, how healthy is this person? Do they fit me? Because no matter how attractive or desirable or what a good lover the person might be, if you don't have a good sense of who they are, it's really unlikely that you're going to be able to have a long-term relationship with them. So what that means is that you get involved with somebody who takes up lots of time and energy, and the relationship falters. And it's really about the fact that you didn't look at the person more intimately in terms of looking at their, who they are as people, what they have to say about their mother, their self-esteem. And the reason I mentioned the idea of what they have to say about their mother or their prior relationships is because if you have somebody who doesn't like their mother and doesn't like anybody that they ever had a relationship with of any sort, it's very likely that they're ultimately not going to like you either. Because when you are looking for a mate, you need to be interviewing. You're wanting to know, well, what happened to the last person that you were with? How long were you in a relationship? And if the answer is that I've never had a long-term relationship, or that every relationship that I had, the other person was wrong, did something stupid, wasn't worthy, have a lot of nasty things to say about that other person, it means that they don't have the ability to accept responsibility for their actions. Because even though more than 50% of the marriages fail, it's never one person. It's really a combination of things. And so if the person cannot claim any responsibility and only see the things after a relationship fails that it was just that other person, means that they don't have the ability to examine themselves, see your faults and your virtues. In essence, what it means is that they're in the business of blaming. And so what you have to keep in mind is that everybody comes with 10 faults and 10 virtues. And in the beginning, the only thing we see are the virtues. And as time goes on, the only thing we see are the faults. Okay. And in any situation, there is a combination of both things, the virtues and the faults from the beginning, as well as the relationship grows.
Okay. I think we have a caller on the line. Let's see.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, hi. Hi, my name is Dorothy, and I have a question. I have my son, he's early 20s, has a girlfriend that he's really interested in. He's been seeing her for about a year now. Now, I keep telling him, don't tell her everything about your past, which he does. He tells her everything, and then later on she'll throw it up in his face. Do you recommend that you tell your new partner, your new lover, of everything about your past? Should they do that, or should they just be selective? I tell them just be selective.
Well, there is a relationship is like any other. A love relationship is like any other relationship. People need to gain your trust first. You need to gain their trust before you share everything. And so people that are most healthy are usually people who will share and see how that information is handled before they share other things. And in a relationship, it's important that you're able to see how people deal with what it is that you offer them. So if you offer them trust and they misuse it, then maybe that's not somebody you want to be with. And if you offer personal things and it's used against you, then maybe that might be not be somebody that you'd want to be with. But it feels extremely important to be able to give a little of yourself along the way. Let's think of it as being any other relationship, friendship. That you wouldn't meet somebody and clean out your bank account and give it to them because they asked you for it and you'd known them a short period of time. That you would basically test to see how they handle what it is that you give them. And if they pay you back, it's
okay.
The same concept when you're in a love relationship. That if people can't be trusted with your secrets, or if people can't be trusted to be fair to you, then those are things you're looking for in terms of what it will be like over the long haul to share things with the person. But I do want to add a caveat, because I did hear you say that he should keep his past to himself. Mm-hmm. It would be important to understand what is that about, because sometimes if there is a past of things that's going to greatly impact the person. It would be important to maybe not tell them on the first date, but if there is something like I was in a marriage before and it fell apart, or I have been abusive in relationships, I mean, those kind of big secrets, then those are things that will ultimately have to be a part of the dialogue if you're going to commit to somebody. But telling every intimate detail about every relationship that you've been in, it's often not constructive and surely not needed.
Okay.
Thank you, Dorothy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Do we have any other callers? Let me see if we have someone on the line who wants to ask a question. One moment, please. Hello, do you have a question? Hello? Okay.
Sorry.
That's fine. Okay. Well, we're going to move right along. And listeners, if you have questions, the number is 347-637-2319 and press 1. Now, what are the warning signs and red flags that we should look out for, and why are they so often ignored?
That's a very good question. I have on my website something that's called the Relationship Health Check, and basically it gives you a listing of things that you want to look out for. But one of the things is that if you're feeling sad in the relationship, that you're not feeling fulfilled and that you're sad and feeling distant, or do you feel bored or empty or lonely, or are you indifferent to the other person's problems? I mean, those are, and surely if there's constant anger, nagging, bickering, that those are signs that there is something going on in the relationship that needs attention.
Okay. Now, why do we ignore some of these red flags? Why do we continue to be in situations even when we know that it's just not something that's good for us?
Well, now, some of the things that I mentioned aren't things that would be an indication that the relationship needs to end, but basically an indication that the relationship needs work. Because you cannot be in a relationship and then imagine that you're going to run away and live happily ever after, because that's the part where the movie ends. You know, they've met, they've worked out things, there was something that stood in the way, they got over it, and they walked hand in hand into the sunset. The reality is that we overemphasize romance in the movies and in our desire for a relationship. But what is really important is truly honoring the love in the relationship over a long haul.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be able to do that, you need to learn how to be with another person, how to express how you feel, how to be able to make your needs known, how to be able to listen. There are just many, many parts to being able to be in a relationship and have it last over the long haul. The major reason that relationships fall apart is often because there's a lack of communication. And then the second part is that it is hard for people to be able to fight fairly. And so when you have a situation where you don't know how to express yourself, or don't know the basics of what's entailed in a relationship, then we can have unrealistic expectations for the relationship. The first thing is that it's important to be able to let the person be themselves. And so if you have somebody and you are feeling as though you're in jail, you know, that you're holding the person's soul as hostage, It is a real important indicator that the relationship isn't working properly, or somebody is going to say, I don't want you to grow. I want you to do everything I want you to do. Don't want you to be yourself. I want you to be what I think you should be. Then those are indications that a person doesn't know how to be in a relationship and that they are likely, the relationship is not likely to go where you'd want it to go. If a person is in a relationship and they are saying, I'm just going to stay here for the children for, you know, until something else better comes along, it's a warning sign, because if you're in a relationship, you have the right to be loved. And if that person is withholding love from you in terms of you have the right to be intimate, to be able to be close to people, to be able to be accepted and adored, and if those things are not happening, then it's an indication that either the relationship needs to end, or at the very least, the relationship needs to be worked on. If the person is not willing to work on the relationship, one person can make two people better, as long as that person isn't being abusive. If somebody says, oh, you should go to therapy, and if you're willing to go and the other person isn't willing to go, there's no reason not to go and work on yourself, because the healthier you are, remember we talked about that scale of health being 1 or 2 versus a 9 or a 10. If that person isn't willing to work on themselves, you can work on yourself and you'll be in a better situation to make a decision as to whether or not this is somebody I want to be with, or is it just that the relationship needs some work. It's interesting how when we're in relationships with a friend, just a friend, not a lover, we are much more tolerant of the person's limitations, and we're oftentimes willing to go that extra step. But somehow when we get in a love relationship, we start we're counting how many times did this person call me, or we're saying they didn't give me flowers or they didn't buy me something that I wanted. We don't do that in other relationships. We're looking for the humanness in the relationship, the ability to be intimate, the ability to be close to somebody.
Okay, I believe we have another question on the line.
Okay.
Hold on, please. Hello?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Hello, my name is Jackie from Queens, and I have a question. I met this guy like 2 months ago, and he had the nerve to ask me what was my income, and I got very upset about it. Is that appropriate?
Yeah, being upset about that is an extremely, it should be at least a red flag. So the question becomes, what was the context of his asking you about your income?
Well, I met him through a mutual friend. So he just said, oh, well, I'm a friend of your Al's. And I heard she got a good job. What's your annual income?
Oh, my.
No, and I got very upset behind it.
Well, you see, I absolutely think that it should be a red flag, but what else went on in the relationship?
Well, I just
sharing about who he is. Was he sharing about his income? Was he sharing about other things that felt appealing to you?
No. He didn't say anything, because I got upset behind him. Maybe I shouldn't have gotten upset, but I did. You know, and the only thing I feel like
give me some really important information that might be helpful to other people that are listening. We oftentimes come to a relationship with our own baggage. And so an example might be that somebody was in relationship with an alcoholic and they finally got out of the relationship. When they met somebody and they had a new person, and that person had two drinks, they decided, I'm never going to see him again. He must be a drunk.
Yes.
And so what sometimes happens is that whatever our prior experiences are, that we can be extra sensitive to certain questions. And so crossing people out with the first indication that they are going to be bad for us is not a good idea, especially if you're wanting to meet people. But listening for the fact that they will do other things that will add to that. And I'll go back to the alcoholic again. And that is that if you went out with somebody and they had two drinks, that's not an indication that they're a drunk. But if you went out with them and every time you saw them, they had four, five, six drinks or never was able to get together with you without having a drink, then that would be something else. So the person that shut the person off after meeting them and they had two drinks wouldn't actually know whether or not that person was an alcoholic, but they are extra sensitive because of having a history. So if you're open to it, are you able to share whether or not you were being sensitive, possibly being sensitive because of some prior experience?
Somewhat. You know, somewhat. I really want to get into it, but I thought about it myself. I said maybe I did take it the wrong way.
Yeah, well, you don't have to share it, but this information is just for you to think about.
Yes, yes, yes.
Times when you've been burned in the process of life, you get extremely sensitive and sometimes feeling hopeless. Oh, my goodness, another person that wants to take advantage of me in some way. So my recommendation would be... That any time somebody does something that's offensive, before you toss them out, it might be an important thing to make a mental note and say to yourself, this doesn't feel so good, but I'm going to look and see, keep an eye out to see if this person is after my money. And, or is this person somebody who is trying to protect themselves? Because we're all damaged to some degree. And sometimes people in their own damage may do or say things that's not meant to be offensive, but if you don't have enough practice in being in a relationship, you might do things that somebody else will see as turning them off. So my recommendation is that you should listen to what people say about themselves, and if indeed that person is up to no good as it relates to you, it'll show up.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. I have another caller on the line. Hold on, please. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Hi. This is Stacey. I've been in a relationship now not a relationship, I would say an associate for like 2 years. And the biggest issue with our friendship is he always wants to be in control. And if things don't go his way, he pouts like a baby. And that's what gets me mad about him. What do you think that how should I approach it? I mean, I've talked to him about it several times, but it goes in one ear and out the other. Should I continue to waste my time and just settle or just move on?
Well, that depends on a variety of issues. The first thing is it sounds as though he doesn't know how to fight. And when I say that, people often get concerned. What do you mean fight? And what I'm really after is the idea to be able to express himself and listen to your response. Or for that matter, you expressing yourself and being consistent. As I said before, one person can make two people better.
Mm-hmm.
And if indeed that person is saying something that you're not happy about, if you know how to fight, you'd be able to talk to them about in a much more productive way, because you can have one person that does something offensive, and if you hear that and you do something back to him, like get annoyed, it doesn't help the situation. Then you are in an argument about the fact that you guys are not communicating well.
Right.
Many times the answer is not to try and to deal with it at that moment, but to come back to it later. So that if indeed he does something that makes you feel that he thinks he's always right, you might make a mental note to say, okay, I'm going to talk to him about what this feels like for me when we're not in this space. And so you can be responsive minus the anger, and later on say to the person, maybe not that day, but the next day, when you're not angry, you can, because being angry prevents you from getting your point across. And so you might want to say when you're both in a more peaceful space. You know, the other day when we were thinking about going to the movies, and I made this suggestion and you made another, and you just dismissed the way that you just dismissed my suggestion. It made me feel bad. It made me feel as though you didn't really hear me or didn't value what I had to say. And I'd like you to know that, because in order for us to be able to have our relationship grow, I need to be able to say these things to you. And my hope is that you'd be able to listen. And at the point that I do things that don't feel good for you, it would be important to me that you're able to say what you're feeling. And so in essence, that's sort of the core of learning how to fight fair. That's a part of something that I hope to be able to do in another upcoming meeting here on the phone, because learning how to fight fair is an extremely important issue in being able to maintain a relationship, because no matter who you are, you're going to sometimes offend the other person and they're going to offend you. And if your only response is, I'm annoyed and I'm moving on, then what that means is that you'll keep moving on, because no matter who you are, nobody's perfect, and they're going to do or say things that's upsetting. So learning how to handle these things is the art of fair fighting.
Well, I know how to handle. He's the one that has self-esteem issues, controlling issues, and like I said, he's an older gentleman. He's in his like mid-50s, and I'm in my mid-40s, and it's like when I don't let him do what he wants to do, it's like I'm dealing with a child all over again. And I feel I don't have time for that at this time and stage in my life.
Okay,
so that's why I'm asking, you know, am I just settling, or should I just leave it alone and just move on?
Okay, so in essence, I'd like to rephrase what you're saying. First of all, everybody comes with baggage, and if he's 50-something, it means that he's had relationships in the past, and this is how he handled himself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fix anybody. When people tell you who they are, you have to listen, or you should.
Right.
And the other thing is, the question that you should always ask yourself is, are there other things in this relationship that's working for me? Is it worth modeling?
Right.
Talking about what I need in this relationship. You might want to give it a try, and after you try those things and they don't work because the person just refuses or can't do anything different, because sometimes people are damaged to the point that they're doing the best they can do. Other times people are just undereducated about themselves and their ability to be in a relationship. And that is when they can be helped to have healthier relationships. So
okay.
It's always important to listen to figure out what category is it. Is this person just so damaged that they can't do any better and won't do any better? Or is this person somebody that's much more reflective and workable?
Okay, thank you.
Counseling is never the answer.
Okay. All right,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would like to say that Mary Kendra Green's website where you can do that relationship health check is www.marykendragreen.com. So if you want to go on her website and do the healthy relationship check, I would recommend that you do that. Let's see. I'm going to spell it out
because sometimes people misspell my name. And
oh, okay, okay. It's www.marypendragreen.com. That's Mary Penda Green. Let's see. We have a few more minutes left to the show, and I think we have one question. Let's see what it's going to be. Hello? Hello? Okay, perhaps they've gone. Well, I have to admit, I had more questions, and it seems as if we have really come close to running out of time. So as opposed to trying to squeeze the questions in, why don't we save these for a future show? And that way we can have you come back again, and you can share your wealth of expertise and advice with us. I have to admit, I've made some very good notes, and I really see in some situations and some essence where we make mistakes in relationships in regards to how we, first of all, look at ourselves and how we come to a situation. So I have to tell you, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes. Let's see. Now, well, folks, let's see. What else do I need to tell you? Oh, Mary Penda Green, she will be back with us. We're going to dedicate next month to health awareness. So November is the health awareness month for us, so we're going to have a series of shows at different times, and we're going to discuss different issues. And if Mary Penda Green's schedule permits, we're going to have her come back on the show as well, and we're going to discuss, I believe, let's see, abusive relationships and how they affect us, and because that's important to our mental well-being as well. And let's see, is there anything else? Oh, folks, please do not forget to turn your clocks ahead 1 hour because the time changes tonight. And if you need to get any more information and details about the upcoming shows, what they're going to be, who's going to be appearing on the show at that time, you can go to the website, which is www.thecocoexpress.com. So that's www.thecocoaexpress.com. And more details will be there for you. Mary, we'd like to thank you so much for being on the show once again, and we're so glad to have you.
You're welcome. Make it a great day.
Yes, yes. You do the same as well. So, folks, thank you for taking a ride on the Coco Express. And as always, it's a pleasure having you. I thank you for your continued support. And you have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Bye.
This is our stop for now. So, come back soon and hang out with Aurelia Lyle from the Coco Express. See where she goes next. Until then, keep it real.